Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamma. Today is Monday, March 27th, 2017. And with me today, I have Jeff Butts. How are you, Jeff?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing well. And Brian Chaffin, how are you today?
Splendid. I am splendid and ever so happy to be here with you today. Thank you very much for having us.
Oh, sir, it is my privilege to have you in my presence.
Yes.
Anyhow, hey, we have a sponsor today. That sponsor is...
Yay!
Yeah, it's Elgato. It's their Eve smart switch.
Oh, that's... I like those guys.
I like those guys too.
Yeah, that's good.
I like them so much, I'm going to talk about them in a little bit. But to build up the anticipation, I think we'll talk about some tech stuff first. So, yeah.
I see what you did there.
I'm clever like that. So what we're going to start with, on one hand, seems like a rerun, but on the other hand, is not. So it turns out that following the horrible terrorist tragedy in London last week, where 5 people were killed, the British Home Secretary, Amber Rudd, is calling for technology companies to give the government a way to access encrypted information. So she wants to be able to get into encrypted chats and other data for the purpose of stopping terrorism.
In the immortal words of David Byrne, same as it ever was.
Oh, I love that song.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here's something, and I do realize at this point, I'm now just going to toss things out to see if I can trigger you, Brian. So, of course, the comparisons were made to the FBI and Department of Justice and their push to force Apple to create a backdoor past the lock code on an iPhone in response to the San Bernardino shootings.
This was under the Obama administration?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And of course, Apple fought that tooth and nail, and it brought the discussion about encryption to mainstream media, and so now when that was brought up as a comparison, Amber Rudd says, no, this is something completely different. Now, here's the quote. This is something completely different. And...
I keep hearing Monty Python's Flying Circus, and now for something completely different.
She said, and I quote, this is according to Reuters, it is completely unacceptable. There should be no place for terrorists to hide. We need to make sure organizations like WhatsApp, and there are plenty of others like that, don't provide a secret place for terrorists to communicate with each other. We need to make sure that our intelligence services have the ability to get into situations like encrypted WhatsApp, which is just like the most awkward, complete lack of understanding wording that one can imagine. So, it is the same. It is the same problem here. People who value privacy don't hate legitimate law enforcement pursuit of criminals or terrorist attacks. The problem is we cannot be protected from the bad guys if we're not also protected from the good guys.
Yes. This is a binary thing.
It sucks that that's the case. It is a binary thing. We're either protected or we are not. And Ms. Rudd is just as wrong as Mr. Comey was. But the thing is that the UK has much less of a track record of protecting civil liberties like this. I mean, you know, the London is you know, camered up to the eyeballs. There's like, you know, like a jillion cameras on you at any given time in London. Right. I mean, it's the the police have broader investigatory powers than our law enforcement does here in the States. And the UK could pass legislation requiring access to things like our iPhones or WhatsApp.
Now, you're going right down the path to the question that I was ready to ask, which is, do you think that the likelihood that a law could pass in the United Kingdom demanding access to encrypted content – wait, I totally lost track of my sentence. Is the likelihood higher in the UK than in the United States that a law like this could pass?
I would call it higher, although with the Trump administration, Donald Trump has said during the campaign that Apple should – I mean, he clearly had no understanding of the technical merits of the argument he was making. He clearly believes that that law enforcement should have access to our devices and encrypted communications, and he probably has very little grasp of the overall technical issues involved. So we were getting this pressure under the Obama administration, a Democratic administration, and I would expect the potential under Republican control of all forms of government to put that pressure a little higher. Don't know that for a fact. There were definitely in questioning that was going on during the San Bernardino controversy in the Congress. Some conservative Republicans were very much, you know, we can't, you know, this exists for a reason. And some, like Trey Gowdy, were like, of course, government has got, you know, law enforcement has got to have access to these communications, period. So the Republican Party as a whole is split. Democrats are split too. So I don't know. It's kind of it's a toss up. But I do think that there's more of a likelihood, to actually answer your question, there is more of a likelihood in the UK that something like that could pass. The question is how U.S. companies would handle it, because the second a major Western country passes something like this, Russia and China are going to absolutely feel free to do the same thing for entirely different reasons.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, and that would be my biggest fear is, you know, once we start down this path, where does it end? And
well, it ends with none of us being protected from foreign surveillance and foreign, no right. matter where you are, right? Mm-hmm. And right. So, you know, like if you're Chinese, surveillance by the U.S. and then surveillance by criminal organizations who are just going to, you know, be able to tap into whatever we're doing. It's right. I mean that this is not a mystery. This is not like, you know, nobody knows what's going to happen. It's just that's what will happen. If our communications are not encrypted, other parties will have access to them or get access mm-hmm. to them.
Yes. Yeah. It's very binary. Either everything is protected or it's not. And now I'm curious to see, will the UK end up coming up with some law that ultimately gets enacted? And if that happens, is that something that the Department of Justice and the FBI in the United States will use as a tool to pressure for a similar law here?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, once the dike breaks, the dike is going to break. I mean, because, you know, the question is, would Apple stop selling iPhones in the UK if Apple was required to give law enforcement in the UK access, you know, like we call it the, you know, FBI OS or government OS
it was government OS.
Both. Actually, I saw both, but whatever. What's my point? I had a point, Jeff. It's gone.
I think your point was probably along the lines of if the UK manages to get something like this through, we're probably kind of screwed in the United States.
Yeah. Once the dam breaks, all governments are going to rush to get this, because it is a very natural understanding for law enforcement to want this access and to choose to not understand the ramifications.
Right. And the people that really want to keep their information encrypted will find ways to do it outside of whatever is mandated by governments. So,
right. The real bad guys out there, the serious bad guys out there will continue to have protected and encrypted communications, while we are left unprotected against foreign governments and criminal organizations alike.
Yeah, so that doesn't really seem like a really prudent path to go down if you want to protect people. Just saying.
Yep.
And, hey, but on a happier note, we have a sponsor, and that sponsor is Elgato, and specifically their Eve Energy Smart Switch. And what I love about the Eve Energy Smart Switch, and yes, I am a user, it's a switch that it's an outlet. So you plug it into an outlet, and now you have a plug that you can connect some device to, and it is HomeKit compatible. As a matter of fact, it is a HomeKit specific device. So if you're not using HomeKit, well, it's time to start if you want to use an Eve Energy. And it communicates over Bluetooth, so it's not congesting your Wi-Fi network with extra data. And what it does is it lets you take a device that otherwise would not be a smart device and make it smart. And then it has the ability to sit there and monitor how much energy it's using. So you can see just how much of a drain how much this is impacting your monthly power bills. And you can set it so that it has thresholds, so you can get alerts if you have something that's using too much power over time. And it's this really cool, really handy device that lets you take something that's not smart and make it smart. What I did with mine was I plugged it into a window air conditioner. And then through HomeKit, I have my Ecobee thermostat talking to it. So when it gets too warm in my place, the air conditioner turns on. When it cools down enough, it turns back off. So I was able to take an air conditioner that otherwise would essentially just be on or off and use it to actually do temperature control in my place. And I was able to get it all set up and everything in just a few minutes, and at $49.95, totally worth it, because it's just really awesome and really handy. So you guys should go check one out. And if you're ready to start automating devices in your house through HomeKit, this is a really great tool to have. So you need to go to their website, elgato.com/TDO. And that's elgato.com/TDO. And that lets the Elgato people know that you heard about the Eve smart switch from Daily Observations. And you know, that's a nice little perk for everyone, because then they feel better about supporting the show. And I love that they know that you guys are checking out their products. So that's elgato.com/TDO. Go check out the Eve Energy Smart Switch. And thank you to Elgato for being our sponsor. Okay, so the other thing that I wanted to talk about today, Brian, you went and checked out a thing on Friday that Steve Wozniak was at.
I did, by the way. I think iOS 10.3 just dropped.
Oh, I would check on my iPhone, but I'm running developer beta, so I can't actually check. But anyhow, sweet. Everyone, as soon as you're done listening to the show, go fire up Software Update and get iOS 10.3.
So the Startup World Cup it's basically if you're familiar with Tech Disrupt, where startups basically pitch VCs. Mm-hmm. That's what the Startup World Cup is, except for it's more of a sort of a competition, the way they set it up. So, you know, there were various startups pitching against each other at regional events throughout the globe. Okay. And the winners of those regional events came together here in San Francisco this last Friday and Saturday, I think it was, to further winnow it down. All of them are vying for a cash prize that basically included a buy-in from some VCs. But, of course, there were VCs on hand to see if they wanted to snag anyone else anyway. Mm-hmm. And Steve Wozniak was one of the featured speakers, and he was interviewed by one of the partners that one of the VCs, a fellow from India whose name I don't, and we are top men. Who was actually interviewing him, and they were sort of talking about, Steve. It was billed as Woz was going to talk about was going to tell us untold stories from Apple, which I call shenanigans on that simply because Steve Woz has been so generous with his time for decades.
Yes,
and has given interview after interview after interview after interview. He's a very chatty person who is happy to talk. So I don't really think we heard anything that was actually untold, but it's always cool to hear him speak. And he was talking about the old days, and he was talking about the questions and his answers were mostly geared toward startups. Mm-hmm. And so, he was offering a lot of advice for them. He also, by the way, twice that I noted, he was asked a question, went on a long tangential answer, and then came back and turned to the host and said, "What was the question again?"
I have seen him do that at the Conference on World Affairs.
It was funny. So there were a few takeaways that I got from him, and it was lovely. I was like, I don't know, 12 feet away from him, the spot I got to sit in. So that was great. Good engineering is vitally important. Woz is obviously an engineer.
Yes,
he is. And he's specifically talked about the value of learning how to build the blocks. He said that when you know how to build the blocks, you can then do anything you want with those blocks. In other words, he talks about the importance of understanding whatever it is that you're doing at the most basic level possible, rather than just trying to assemble the other blocks that other people have put together. And he said that when you do that, you're basically able to bend the whatever technology you're working with more to do your bidding more than if you couldn't, which actually makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. He offered a lot of anecdotes from his very earliest days about how he'd get manuals for computers and check them out from the library when he was a kid. And he walked us through the process of how he became known as the guy that could actually figure out how to do stuff with one less chip.
Yep. Oh man, you did get ripped off, because I've heard that story too.
Oh, I'm sure lots of people have heard that story, Jeff. It's interesting. He's so enthusiastic, and he's so charming when he speaks. It's always a delight to hear him.
It is.
One of the quotes I got from him was, "Startups are the most important things we have going on." And he said that education is nice, but take the opportunity to participate in a startup if you can. So in other words, he said, like, if you're going to school and someone comes, approaches you with a great startup idea, screw school, go do the startup. You may want to, your mileage may vary on that.
Yeah. And, so if that doesn't work out in your benefit, blame Woz, not us.
Yeah, exactly. And then he talked about the importance of making a product for yourself first, rather than trying to make a product that you think other people want. Make the product that you want.
I like that.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then my favorite story, and this is definitely not an untold story. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, the LA Times did a piece on it in 1986. But he went back to Berkeley when he stepped down from Apple, from his day-to-day activities there. He went back to Berkeley and to get his degree because he wanted his kids to see that he had a degree. And he registered and graduated under the name Rocky Raccoon Clark.
That's awesome.
So Rocky Raccoon Clark got a degree from Berkeley, and that was Steve.
That's awesome.
Sweet.
All right. Hey, we're out of time, so we have to wrap up. So what a great story to wrap up with. Brian, thank you for being here today.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having us, and thanks for letting me walk through my pleasant interactions I was in receiving mode. I was listening.
All right.
Anyways, Waz, it was fun.
Your pleasant experience.
Yes, there we go. Yes. Let's go with that.
And Jeff Butts, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure. Yep. And Elgato, thank you for being our sponsor today. Go check out the Eve Energy Smart Switch. It's HomeKit compatible, and it's pretty awesome. I am very pleased with mine. The website you need to go to is elgato.com/TDO. That's elgato.com/TDO. And listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.